and welcome to Katie's Crib. As you guys know, I really like to do episodes about stuff that I need to know about. And so this episode is all about year one milestones. We are really circling my son Albie's first year birthday, and I am, you know, trying not to freak out. So what we're talking about is like the first smile to the first steps to the first words. And we're going to talk about some developmental and physical growth stuff that happens during this amazing and absolutely insane first year. And we're also going to talk about some of the important things to look out for. And also, very importantly, how to enjoy the special and awesome moments in the first year of your child's life. Today, I'm super stoked. We have amazing guests. We have the wonderful and amazing pediatrician who I've been working with very closely and texting nonstop in New York City while I'm here doing waitress. She is a pediatrician by the name of Dr. Danielle Taylor. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
She is amazing. And then we also have Nicolette Robinson, who is running a little late because I guess subways are crazy in New York and we are super far downtown, so she'll be entering in a little bit. And then a very good friend, Jamie Stettler, who literally was driven to high school by my husband.
Adam drove me to high school. grew up around the corner for me, and here we are now.
And Jamie and I have known each other for years. Mm-hmm. And Jamie, how old is your daughter?
Sunny is 15 months.
15 months.
Almost 16 months.
And I can't even imagine getting to that place at like a year. Like, I'm like, what? What's going to happen now? This is so insane. And Dr. Danielle Taylor, who we'll just call Danielle now, right?
Perfect.
Okay, great. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We came to meet through an actor in Waitress, the musical. I seriously, Albie had a cold and cough for the 50 millionth time, and I needed a pediatrician to reach out to.
So I'm practicing the faculty practice at Columbia University. So I work for Columbia. And it's just, you've been there. It's a little small shop, and we see patients, and we have fun, and we see babies. And I've been practicing for 14 years.
Wow. Yeah, and you're a mom yourself.
I am. I have two children. I have an 11-year-old. See, I forgot to. And a 13-year-old.
11 and 13.
Every time someone asks, like another month goes by.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, now you're in years.
Right.
So I guess we still forget that. Or kind of easier. Who even knows?
Exactly.
So let's start with you, Dr. Taylor, Danielle. So when you come in for your, like, the one-year checkup is like this big thing. Are there actual real, like, milestones that you're looking for?
I mean, I think it's important to know that milestones, developmental milestones, have big ranges. So what one child will do at 9 months, another child will do at 15 months. And we don't care when it happens. It makes everybody crazy.
Oh, my God. This makes me feel so much better. See, I told you this podcast was just very selfish.
It doesn't. It's a party trick. It doesn't mean anything special to us if they do it at 9 months versus 15 months, as long as they're progressing.
Brilliant. Because I literally went to a baby class here in New York, and there was a mom whipping out flashcards to her 9-month-old, and the baby could, like, touch her nose and touch her head and do all these things, which, like, Albie has, like, nowhere near, like, his no party tricks, not really. So I was like, of course, you just go into freak out land. Now, did you feel a lot of pressure, Jamie, when your daughter turned one, like, about these milestones? Like, have you felt like she was crawling by a certain age, or she was not speaking yet, or things like that?
Well, what's so interesting about Sunny is that she was walking at 10 months, like hardcore walking.
What?
Well, but here's the thing is that she never crawled. So when everyone else was crawling, she would always just kind of stand there like she wanted to be a big girl. And she stood there. And so when she's walking, everyone's like, I can't believe she's walking. I can't believe she's walking. But now all of her friends are starting to have all these words. And she says mama and dada. And like, that's it.
Hey, so there's two.
Like, but so it's like, some people do some things faster, right, and some do others. And so for us, it was more like she seems super ahead at certain things, but she's also like a lot bigger than all of her friends. And it was like, what does that mean?
And that's exactly how it goes. So they sometimes will work on one skill, a verbal skill, and then the motor skills will kind of just stay where they are for a little bit. And then they'll work on that skill. So it really is a big range. Neither of my children crawled. They both started walking, which is nerve-wracking at 9 months when they're not crawling.
Oh, my gosh. Like, literally, Albie just started crawling. He's 11 months. He just started crawling like a week ago, and I've been having a fucking heart attack. Now, he's army crawled for months.
But belly up?
No. Okay. Not belly up. And I was having a heart attack Googling at 3 o'clock in the morning during my insomnia of like, why isn't my baby crawling? Because really, I think what motherhood and especially around this year milestone is so much about. It's funny. It's like an acting career. It's like that compare despair thing, which you really don't want to do, of like really measuring up your child all the time with when the other babies in class are doing things. But he started crawling like a week ago, which is like super late. But I mean, but what are you going to do about it?
Right. But it's like.
But then he has 1,000 teeth, like 1,000 teeth. Why does he have so many teeth? I don't know. I'm going to interrupt really quick and we'll get back to this to introduce the amazing Nicolette Robinson, who is my new friend and is currently playing Jenna in Waitress.
Yes. I'm so sorry I'm late, you guys. Mama problems. I mean, I guess that's the.
That's it. And also you were starring on Broadway yesterday. Like I sing like 11 songs in the musical. And Nicolette sings 30 billion songs in the musical. God. And I think you're only off stage for 1 minute.
Probably.
And your line before you leave the stage is, I have to go pee, which I know Sarah Bareilles put in there specifically so because she was like, you can't go 2.5 hours without going to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, Nicolette.
Hi.
So guys. Tell us about, you have a daughter.
I do. She is 16 months.
Oh, same age.
Same age. Yeah. And wait, so you just said, so my daughter was all, I'm just hopping in, but like my daughter was so late in crawling as well and walking. She started walking like last month, like at 15 months, she started walking.
And we're late though.
No, it's not late.
It's right in there.
Oh,
it
there
is.
It's
only late because you see on Instagram compared to everybody else, the other kids that are walking.
Exactly.
And you're like, wait a second.
All her friends were long before her, and we were just like, she's taking her time.
And did you feel chill about that? Like, are you good at like checking yourself of like, this is just when she needs to do it, and that's fine. Like, as long as the doctors aren't worried, I should not worry.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you of course want your kid to like be ahead of the game always. You have this like internal competition always. But yeah, no, I mean, everybody was saying, you're lucky, like you don't have to run all over chasing her and this and that. So I mean, but she also, she's been ahead, like in terms of like words and she's very more about like the verbal and the and visual and seeing things and the movement. She's been chill. She's slow. But she hasn't been like anxious about it as long as she's not feeling, you know, upset or feeling.
They don't care about
exactly.
anything.
Exactly. They do not care.
No, like, you're always so happy you don't care.
I know.
Can you guys really also I want to get into some more specifics with Danielle, the doctor, but also tell me about, I know we're talking a lot about like physical milestones with babies and compare and despair. And I think you bring up a really important point, Jamie, that I think in this world of social media, it's gotten like so much worse. Like, I can't tell you how many friends that post the video of their baby's first steps or the baby's first crawl or the baby's first word or the first time the baby feeds themselves. And I go right into, where does my baby measure up in that? Mm-hmm. And it sucks. It's like, oh, like you can't.
Well, how can you not? It's in your face all day, every day.
And I'm doing it too. Like I'm 100% guilty. Like, of you know, like, you know, posting family photos to family and things like that of like the milestones that he's reaching. Mm-hmm. And also size is a big, like every time I get met, you know, Albie's really small. He's in the 17th percentile.
Sunny is in the 99th percentile.
Wow. And I'm sure you feel concerned about that. And I feel concerned about him being small.
Totally.
And I'm completely clueless. I could not tell you in a million years.
And that's actually the better way to be.
Really?
Mean that she's like average.
I have
like,
no
she's like
idea.
Good. She's normal. Well, it's good.
No matter what I say, people, so she's on the 20th percentile. That's great. Well, shouldn't she be on the 80th percentile? Well, she was on the 5th percentile last time. So we're getting there. It's all about progression.
And your temperament, and I have to say this is so important with whatever pediatrician you're working with, but so lovingly that I'm working right now with Dr. Danielle, that I feel like you always make me chill about it. Mm-hmm. Like when you were like, well, he's measuring in the 17th percentile. So you like, you know, I think you said something like, so whatever, he's not the biggest kid in the sandbox, but like, has he always been at that? And yes, he's always consistently growing and never dropping scarily below that, but you always make me feel at ease.
Well, thanks for saying that.
I really appreciate that. I want to talk really quickly also about the 1 year like birthday party situation that's going on now that we're at social media. Because I'm in the midst of planning it. Oh. I definitely said I wasn't having one.
Stressful.
Did you ladies have a big 1 year birthday party, and you as well for your older daughters?
I can't remember.
See, we're going to put in all this work and you can't even remember.
I can't remember. There was no social media back then and I can't remember. My daughter's going to kill me.
No, she's not. Oh, she doesn't remember either.
She doesn't remember either.
Jamie, did you have a big birthday party?
We did. I would have done it in my apartment, but I was like, the smallest number of people is like all of our immediate family. And I was like, there's not enough places for people to sit in our apartment for like the adults who are coming. And so we did it in the lounge of our building.
Sure.
So I was like thinking that that meant it would still be chill because it's like in our home, quote unquote. But then it was like, did you invite this person? Did you invite that person? Right. And the list just kept growing and growing and growing. And Brian's like, what about this person I work with has a kid their age? And this person I work with, oh, and that person would love to come. The list kept growing. And at first it was like, we're just going to put some balloons up. And then it was like, we need a theme. And then it turned into Sunny's first fiesta.
Oh. And then you were cut to, you told me you were making like Sunny's margaritas from scratch.
We made Sunny miritas.
That.
And we got like the mini Patron bottles and we got these colorful straws.
Dude, that sounds like a dope party though.
But yeah. I was like, I want to have a drink at this party.
Of course.
And so, and then it was one thing after the other. And then I was like, the only thing I care about is the Momofuku birthday cake because it is the best cake in
the city. Oh, it's on my to-do list because of you.
Best cake in the city. And everyone loves it. So I got that. And then you hear, what about a smash cake? Is there a smash cake for her? And I'm like, a smash cake? She's never even had cake.
Exactly.
Like, what do you mean?
Can you explain what the hell a smash cake is?
It's a small, like, personal size cake just for her that she can do whatever she wants with. Mm-hmm. And that's usually smash it.
Okay, and I want to know what the statistics are of the babies that actually do it.
Well, we put the cake in front of her expecting her to, like, lose her mind
on it. Yeah, go off.
And she was like, what is happening? What is this thing? So I start literally like stuffing the cake in her mouth. So I'm like, I went and got this cake yesterday.
Yeah, because it's all about us.
So
exactly.
I was like, you're going to eat the smash cake. It is here. I bought it. I got the smash cake. And then she was like, and then you could tell she was kind of like, all right, this tastes kind of good. And she had a couple bites and everyone's taking pictures of her. She looks horrified, horrified. God. But it was like, you do all these things because they're things that everyone tells you that you have to do.
Did you feel like it was worth it?
It was afterwards. Like when you look back through the pictures, you're like, I'm so glad I have these fun pictures with this beautiful color balloons and the little Sunny Ritas. Like it's cute. And I'm glad that we did it. But I will tell you, the whole week leading up to it, I barely slept. I was so stressed out about it because it was one thing after another. Like you got the balloons. Oh, and now where are we going to get this? And where are we going to get that? And then the other thing I will tell you, and I don't like to like really give advice, but if you're going to plan a birthday party, have a human or two or three who do not have children, who are there to
help,
only help you like facilitate a party.
Sure.
Whether it's a babysitter, a nanny, a family
member. Sure.
My best friend Jess was there. God bless you, Jess. She was like making the margaritas. I was like, make them strong.
Do you feel like you got tanked? Because that's what my dream is.
I was like drinking, but it's like, there's just so, you know, like when you're in party mode, it's like a whole other, there's a lot of adrenaline.
Sure. I also feel like the 1 year birthday party, and I want to hear what you did, Nicolette, too. I also feel like the 1 year birthday party is, it's just so much more for us.
Totally.
Than it is for the baby.
Oh,
because
the 1 year old remembers nothing.
Right. The 1 year old doesn't care. Yeah. And it's more, I think, just a celebration that you've made it to a year and like you did it. And like, that's why I think we have these images in our head of like, well, I wasn't going to do anything. But now I'm like, but I want to pat myself on the back and have a themed party and like congratulate myself and definitely have like one or five mimosas. Like,
but then you realize all the pictures of all the first birthday parties that you've seen, how much went into those. You don't realize until you do it. And you're like, how do people have the time and the money and the energy for all of this?
Did you have a big party?
We did. I mean, Of course it was stressful. I mean, we were trying to make it as chill as possible. And my birthday is 5 days before hers. And it was my 30th birthday. And so we were like,
big,
really
whoa, big milestones for mama and daughter.
Yeah. So poor baby, her birthday totally got on the back burner. It was, I mean, like days before it, we decided we had no theme. But we decided we were going to do it at my parents' house. And we were still in LA at the time. I literally had found out days before that I had booked Waitress musical on Broadway and that we were coming. So it was like lots of craziness and excitement. And I also had to fly to New York on her actual birthday
to audition
for the final callback for this. And I was like devastated. My
How
husband
did you
kept
feel?
It was so, I mean, I knew I. What my family and my husband were reminding me was like, A, she's never going to remember. She's not going to know that it's even her birthday today. Right, and right. We're going to have a party for her on the weekend.
Right.
But for me, it was a good reminder to be like, I'm doing this for myself, which is also going to benefit her and her seeing that mama is like out there, going to like do something she loves and she's going to be working and all that. So, you know, tried to keep it in perspective.
What a huge like milestone for you on her 1 year birthday to like, you're doing something for yourself, like on your career.
It felt like finally, like, I mean, it had taken me an entire year to get to this place where I actually felt like I could do something for myself, which I mean, I'm sure you guys understand.
Was that your first time leaving
her? No, it wasn't. I'd actually been doing like little work jobs that had taken me out of town a lot. Probably like a week was the longest I had been away. And that's always so hard. But I finally felt at the 1 year mark, like I had kind of gotten a hold of motherhood in a way. I mean, we're still always, I don't know how you guys feel, like, do you?
Oh my God. I don't even
wait till she's 13.
Oh my God.
I'm so scared. So did you end up having a big party last minute?
It was just like a lot of family and friends, and it was actually kind of chill and sweet. And we did what you said. We hired our housekeeper to come and like help with, you know, cleaning up after, like with the food and this and that. And my parents were there, and a good amount of people who don't have kids were there as well. So that was really helpful.
You meet them with two hands.
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't too chaotic. We had, you know, in the house, we did ridiculously order like tables and chairs and balloons, and I felt like I just spent this much money on goods for a 1 year birthday.
But like, it's crazy. Do feel this pressure to do it.
Yeah,
you just really do.
But it's,
I
also,
mean, I definitely do, and I was not gonna have one.
But you don't have to, and part of it is also for your friends and your family. It's partially because I don't know about you guys, but I was completely under a rock for a majority of the beginning of her life, and so it was more like, let me invite people over so they can see my daughter, and I'm gonna try and force myself to be more social, and you know,
like
it was
a coming out party for
yeah
her,
coming out party,
and it is, you're definitely in a fog that first year.
Yeah.
I always say if you wear makeup at any point during the first year your pediatrician visit, you get like extra points.
I've never worn makeup to a pediatrician visit. I'm going to say that on record right now. Whoa. My 1 year I wear makeup and like take a photo, it is 1 year pediatrician. I will be mind blown. Yeah. Dr. Taylor, can you explain what a milestone regression is? Is that a thing? Oh, God. Should we not even
like
be talking
a sleep
about
regression?
It?
No. We can talk. Well, so a milestone regression is just like it sounds. It's when you used to do something and you either don't do it anymore or you've plateaued. So you haven't advanced. We talked about ranges and always progressing. So a regression is when you either do something and stop doing it.
Oh, interesting. So babies can do that, like they may have crawled for a week and then they don't anymore, or?
You can do, I mean, there's things that are definitely normal that can happen when you do that. Big life changes, moving to New York.
That's when our sleep regression hit.
Sleep regression.
And boy, did it suck.
Working on a new skill, like we talked about. So if you'd been, you know, clapping your hands and now you're working on waving goodbye, you may not clap your hands anymore. So there's definitely normal things that can make it happen. Having another baby will do it sometimes.
Whoa.
Changing from the the baby room to the toddler room in daycare, something like that. And then there are regressions that we worry about, which are...
So those regressions that you talk about aren't really ones to freak out about.
No, not at all.
Because they're normal reactions to life environment.
Exactly.
And then what are the ones to worry about?
Well, there's never one to worry about. There's one that you bring to me. You bring all of them to me. And I say, you know what? You just had a baby. You just had another baby. So this baby kind of... wants to go back a little bit, or, you know, this didn't get a lot of sleep, working on some language skills, working on some new motor skills. So, and then if you say, you know, this baby's been cruising for 10 months, never, I mean, hopefully it doesn't get that far, but didn't progress past that, then maybe we investigate a little more. But it's never anything to worry about.
Do you find that moms with their first baby, like me, text you all the time, like 1,000 questions, and then their second baby comes around and it's like, whatever?
Yes and no.
Okay, tell me.
Does this ever end?
Yeah,
does the neuroses and the anxiety ever end?
I only hear my mother saying, well, better to be safe than sorry. I'm like, oh my God, like it is endless. I mean, I know that is true.
Hopefully we've learned some stuff. Hopefully we've developed a relationship where you can rely on what I say and count on what I say. And you know me a little better with the second baby. Most of the questions, 90% of questions from a mom with a second baby start. So the first baby did this. The second baby does this differently.
Comparing the babies to each other.
Yes. It's different. Twins.
Here we go. Yeah. Sure.
Differently. They do it in a different way. They did it in a different timetable. Is that okay? And like I said, there's a range. So, of course, it's okay.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I want to hear about how you guys felt the first time. Like, was it a big deal when your baby, like, first walked? Because, like, I haven't had that yet.
You will.
Oh, yeah.
I will?
You will.
Like, was it a big deal?
It was huge.
Was it a big deal, like, if you were there or not there, or, like, you got it on tape or you didn't? Because I'm 100% convinced I'm not going
to
be there.
I wasn't there when she crawled, and my family was terrified to tell me.
And I don't think they should tell you, necessarily. Mm.
Really?
I told my nanny to stop telling me stuff. Mm. Let me figure it out. Does it matter if they saw it first or you saw it first? Just let me.
Like, yeah. My husband had a full-blown meltdown because we're both in Waitress right now, so the nanny's like, whoa, like a lot of hours being logged. And she was in Central Park and she sent a photo with like white stuff all over his face, and my husband wrote, what's that?
He had ice cream.
And she said, oh, I gave him ice cream. And I thought, I secretly inside really kind of liked it because I have given up a lot of firsts to my nanny. I went back to work when Albie was 8 weeks old. Adam, this was his first of, like, Adam's favorite dessert in the world is ice cream. It's his everything. And the fact that the nanny gave it to him without Adam there was, like, mass pandemonium in my household. But I was like, okay, it's his first ice cream with her, but you're gonna have your first ice cream with him, and it'll probably be like a better flavor, or like whatever
way
it is
better.
Yeah, or like, you know, you're definitely gonna capture it better, because my nanny is, you know, she's wonderful, but she's not amazing at the technological phone,
right.
Yeah, photography.
Right.
So anyway, he faced his first like big miss out. You missed her crawling.
Yeah, I did. But with walking, I literally caught it on video, which is crazy. Which I don't even know how. Well, my sister's really good with kids, and she works actually. She's getting her final hours, and she has her master's in psychology, and she works with kids under the age of 3 who are showing signs of autism, possibly, or behavioral issues or developmental issues. So she's really good at like talking, teaching kids, like just helping, assisting with their development. And so she was like holding Lucy, my daughter's Lucy, and she was holding her hand, like basically like just had a finger for her to hold. And my daughter was barely holding on to her, but it was just more of a security blanket.
Yeah.
And so that was such an I had never thought to do that. I mean, it was more just like, here, I'm with you. But she was basically walking by herself, but just holding onto her finger. So I grabbed the camera, my phone, and I was just recording it, and eventually she just was continuing to walk alongside her, and then she just like slipped her finger out of her hand, and then there was, she was walking. And then she did it one other time, and then she basically didn't do it again for like a week.
So, which is not a regression.
Okay, there you go.
That's normal.
Be Carrie.
Yeah.
What about Sunny?
Sunny was like pushing things, like never really crawled, like I said. So it was like she was pushing around her little loud walker thing that sings the most annoying songs. Or she was pushing this wagon thing. And so we knew it was coming. And so I was always like phone out, ready for it. And then I got a couple of her first steps on camera. And then the next morning, because I'm on the local morning news here in New York.
Yeah, you are.
We showed it as like a breaking news.
Oh, that's so cute.
Sunny Stelter's walking. And like the beauty of social media, I will say, because there's so much bad with like comparing and all of that stuff. I really have found that sharing a lot of those big moments, the comments at least, and who knows about all the people who aren't saying anything or whatever, but there's so much beauty in the support that you get and the cheering on.
Sure.
And even the times when I've asked a question, like when she was teething and I was like, I am losing my mind. Tell me every teething remedy you have ever had. Mm-hmm. And it's like in those moments, social media is a beautiful thing.
You have found it to be very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. This also, have you guys had a milestone happen that has like brought you to tears? Because I've been like, he crawled, he army crawled, he did all this stuff. And like, it's just been like great. Like, yay, like he's doing it and totally fine. But when he got his first tooth, I sobbed. Like, I don't know why that is. And this is a really disgusting, hilarious story. But I called my mom when he got his first tooth. And I said, I can't believe I'm having this reaction. Like, I also think it's probably just because he got his first tooth really early on. And I was still a hormonal insane person. And I think we're all going to look back at these first 2 years and realize we were all still insane too. Like, I still think like I'm just like, I can't believe you and I are doing a Broadway musical in this state. It's like, nuts. It's really insane.
I'm so impressed with you because I told you like 1 year mark for me was really when I was like ready to come out of my little rabbit hole.
Yeah. Thing. No, I think I'm going to look back on everything I've done and it's going to be like, I don't think I was okay. You're but anyway, amazing. Here we are. Yeah. It's for all of you guys to hear and judge. So you're welcome.
I think it's interesting the milestones that hit you and the ones that don't, or
sure.
whether it comes on a certain day when you're particularly emotional. It's not the actual milestone. It's
that's what right. could yeah. be very true.
With you, like when we lowered Sunny's crib from like the high thing to like the full crib,
yep.
and we put her down and she sat in there, and at the time she looked tiny.
Yeah.
And it wrecked me. I was like, she looks like she's in a cage. I don't think she's happy. This isn't good. And of course she was like, so fine, doesn't care.
Right.
But it was like the things that move you. And you're like back in your own bedroom sobbing.
My mom said, I called her and I was like, he just got his first tooth and I just can't believe it. And I stuck my finger in there and Adam said he felt something. And then I put my finger in there and I felt it and he has his tooth. And mom was like, so my mother, she was like, oh, I remember when I like lost my mind when you were growing up. And I said, what made you like sob? She was like, I had to exit and go to the bedroom and just cry when I saw that you had your first pube.
it took a while.
Like, can you believe that? Like, she was like, that's what's marked in her brain is like her little daughter was like growing up. It must have been like changing out of a bathing suit or like God knows what. But she like saw some sort of like hair growing there. And she said she lost her mind. And I was like, oh my God, like that's going to be a whole other thing we have to do.
Oh, yes. God.
So that's where you're at.
That's where.
Because you're in the teenage stage, which seems like a real nightmare.
But I don't remember crying with my daughter with milestones when I cut my son's hair for the first time because he looked like a big boy. And the baby curls came off, and he was over a year. He needed a haircut terribly. He looked really, really needed a haircut.
And no.
The first time we cut his hair, I said, oh, he's a big boy. I do remember that, and I cried in the Cozy Cuts for Kids.
Oh, my God. I'm not ready for the first haircut either. what we were talking about with people missing them, like Serena Williams, she tweeted that she wasn't there for her daughter's first steps. You know, like she took her first steps, and she was training, and she cried, and she missed it. Like, I'm so scared Albie's going to walk, and I'm not going to see it.
But all the responses to that tweet were beautiful. Like,
what did they say?
Cheering her on. There were so many people that were like, she's going to walk again, or you were making her so proud, or wait till she sees what you were doing on the day when she took a first step. Which, by the way, like, do any of you know when you took your first step? Because, like, I don't.
Oh, no idea.
I honestly, I don't even. I was talking about this with my husband the other day. I was like, what? When do you remember when your first memory was? Because mine for sure wasn't until I was like at least two, and then probably after that, like way later.
I was a five or six.
Like I've maybe one memory when I was like barely walking, but like that's it.
But your parents probably remember.
Yeah,
and I do tell people when they're worried about milestones and when they reach them, I said, ask your mother, ask your mother-in-law, when did you do that? Invariably, it's going to be early or late. And it'll genetics being what they are, they do reflect.
And we have to kind of remember that we all are sitting here and we all poop on a toilet.
Exactly.
And we all sleep through the night. And
we're going to be okay. All the time. I'm like, Brian, have you ever seen an adult, like, aside from medical problems of some kind, like, no one's crawling to work. Like, everyone, you know,
right.
Everyone's.
We're going to get there.
Feel like crawling to work.
So, like, at some point, we're going to be okay. Have you guys found, like, any books or apps or anything like that to be, like, super helpful in this sort of arena? Like, is there something in the first year of having your baby that you, like, couldn't live without? Like, I really love this book called The Conscious Parent, which is just a wonderful reminder to me always. I think also in milestones with this compared despair thing that, like, the book is very much about how the baby is here to teach me stuff and I'm not supposed to teach him stuff. And the baby's here to, I mean, this is a little LA woo-woo, but whatever. he's here to make me a better person and me take me to another plane of consciousness, so to speak. And so I try to remind myself that when I'm sitting here trying to measure up his milestones and when he's supposed to walk and when he's supposed to talk and all this stuff is to just really let him be and that he's here to teach me what I'm supposed to talk and walk and how I'm supposed to talk and walk. Have you guys found anything to be super helpful in your year? Like, is there an app that, like, at the beginning, when you're pregnant, there's all these apps about, like, at this month, this is happening, and this month, and that is happening, but...
And then you don't get on your phone for the next year, so nobody...
Really, that's the recommendation, is it not, to not Google this shit?
I think the breastfeeding apps are helpful, because I'm going to ask you in the first visit how many pees and poops there are, and you're going to have to look at your paper. But there's an app for that, and that's a good one.
Yeah, Glow I use. Like, yeah, at the beginning, when you're really making sure that there are wet diapers and poopy diapers, and because that's the way you can tell they're not dehydrated and they're eating and things are going in and things are coming out, which I also actually still use when he's sick.
Oh, okay. That's
like,
good.
If he has a cold or a cough or something, like, I know it's not red alarm alert, holy shit, problem area. Like, if my nanny and I are like, well, he's had, you know, a lot of pee diapers today and his poop is normal and how many times, because you know that it's just like a cold and a cough and we're not like dehydrated or something like that.
I literally just checked my phone and I deleted them all. I was just so... I was like,
you got to the one-year mark and you were like, fuck this.
Get these off my phone. Just like, I don't remember the name of the apps for me.
Baby on the Block is a good one. The happiest baby on the block.
Oh, yeah.
With the five S's.
That's great. Dr. Karp.
Yeah.
I used the Snoo.
And he has a toddler book as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, he does? You use the Snoo?
I used the Snoo like for the first 4 or 5 months of her life. And
this Snoo, so you guys know, is a crib designed by Dr. Karp that's essentially like a baby nurse. The crib senses when the baby wakes up and just kind of gently shakes the baby, which mimics how the baby feels
in the womb.
Inside the womb, so that the shock after they come out to just like kind of having to sleep silently by themselves and not be comforted.
Yeah. It's great. It was great. But yeah, I also the happiest toddler on the block.
Happiest
that's what it is, right? Yeah. I'm the worst with that stuff. Like, I literally have like
I love
20
how chill
books.
You are. I feel like you're chill.
No,
thank God you're hanging. I'm hanging out with you and where you're from.
Honestly, I'm not chill. I mean, I am way more chill now. I had so much anxiety in the like beginning phases. And I also like completely had the worst, most horrible time with breastfeeding. I had to stop at 5 weeks with her. Ugh. And so like I had just, you know, eventually I think it was partially just me being like, screw all this. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with the pressure. And I still had the anxiety and, you know, in LA called my pediatrician all the time. I haven't bothered you too much yet. But I have a zillion books that I've never picked up. But my mom is good with that stuff. And she was helpful with The Happiest Toddler. The biggest thing I think that helped me, because sometimes you're dealing with this with your child and they're doing new things and you're like, I have no idea, like behavioral wise, because they don't know the difference at this age that they're doing something that they're not supposed to be doing. But how do you
sometimes
they know. Sure. Yeah. But like, even with like when she would get really frustrated and get upset, she kind of went through this phase where any little thing that went wrong, if she dropped something or if she was pointing at something and you didn't understand what she was doing, she was just having trouble with communicating, and she just got really frustrated real fast. She would just start crying or yelling immediately. And so my mom read
this
thing.
Is this like a tantrum?
It wasn't a tantrum. Okay. It was just like a lot of noise and a lot of just like, ah! I don't know.
Maybe it's because you and your husband are singers.
She's got a pipe.
I mean, she definitely loves
and that's how she expresses herself. She's like, well, mom and dad sing all the time.
She'll be in her crib and just like making sounds and singing stuff like by herself for like a full hour before she takes her nap. She'll just, yeah. But that's another thing. But for when she couldn't communicate, my mom read somewhere that that was helpful for us. I don't know if it works for everybody, but you know, if she was upset, I know you're feeling, Lucy's feeling frustrated or you're feeling sad. Let's talk about, you're feeling sad because I know you want this toy, but right now you can't have it, but you feel sad. And just like acknowledging the feelings that
she has. Exactly what I tell people to do. It can,
interesting.
You go down to their eye level and say, I understand you don't want to leave the park yet. You're having a really good time, but it's time to go.
Yeah.
And you'll still get the crying, but it'll probably be at a, 70-60%, which is huge.
Right. It's being heard versus like just really shoving down their throat what needs to be happening right now.
Which is why language
becomes
important.
Nanny used to say when Sunny was crying, she would be like, Sunny got really angry. And Brian and I would always laugh and be like, she's assigning these full-on like adult emotions to her. And for a while, we thought it was like the funniest thing in the world that she would talk about her like she was an adult. But after a while, like, she was slowly teaching us, and now we've all caught on how important it is that, like, though she does have real emotions and that you should be talking to her that way, and that she responds to that so well. It's not just like, oh, she's crying, when is the baby gonna stop crying?
Sure. Yeah, because they're babies, we think that they like don't understand as much, but it is incredible how much they understand what we're saying. And if you can just like communicate with them, they can't communicate back as well, but they really do understand.
They do
so much.
That's all part of the language. Milestones.
It's like narrating and all that kind of thing.
That's why reading is so important to them. And you can read your scripts. You can read.
Oh, I run lines with Abby like all a dang time.
Just do it with a sing-song voice. Do it with a sing-song voice. Yeah. Do it with a nice, gentle, like you're reading, the best storybook ever. But it can be anything. And they love it.
I was so worried because Adam and I were on vocal rest so much because we're Broadway singers now, which is really hard and scary. And there were so many days where he would look at me like, Mom, why are you moving your face so much and like not talking? Because I got really sick. It was crazy. Like, oh my God, you guys, Broadway, real deal. So let's talk about phases and when things are supposed to end or start or move on. Because you did mention, Danielle, like that there are windows, which for some reason that word feels much better to me. than like I think about like the due date. Like I wish it was like a window. Can you tell us, like, are doctors really looking at phases of when things start or end, or
windows? We do look at windows. So a walking window, would be 9 months to 15 months, 16 months. And like I said, if you're progressing and you're right there and you're holding onto a finger, but you just don't want to let go because that's, they come here a certain way. That's your temperament. So possibly they can walk, but they just are feeling a little hesitant. Or you have the child that is really motivated to walk and they're going full on. So I think if you're ever concerned, we can always do evaluations and always tell your pediatrician, I know you said not to worry, but I am worried. So let's make me not worry. And that's always an appropriate thing to say and question to ask. So there are windows and talking, we want at a year, maybe Mama Dada, or the dog's name, or that, which they say for everything when they're pointing at stuff. Mm. We more want them to understand you. So if you say, where's the cat, or where's the dog, you know, that's also language.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sign language is also language.
Sure.
So there are different ways to communicate, and there are different ranges.
And or some, they're like not saying words, again, guys, using Katie's crib for personal benefit. If he's like not saying words, but you're like, where's my baby? And he points to himself, or like, yeah, where's my,
yes,
you know, that's
that
communicating.
He can
he's
hear,
understanding.
He
like,
can hear. He understands what you're saying. He knows he's the baby. He just doesn't feel like saying it. He also can't want it too bad.
I always say, I'm always like,
don't make them perform.
No, yeah. Like she will do it when she wants to.
Yes.
Like she knows. Like, I always feel like she has all these words and she's looking at us like,
you want it
yet.
Too badly. Yeah.
Not
oh my
yet.
Gosh. My cousin's kids, twins, they didn't speak until they were almost like 3 years old. And now they are chatty and just, I mean, and it just, we were nervous about it, but
were
totally
they sent
fine.
Through
I think
the
it's
ringer
all,
with tests?
Were they speaking to each other?
They, like, I think in their own sort of, yeah, like twin sort of communication way, they were kind of just communicating with each other and a lot of sounds, but not, yeah,
words.
They weren't speaking and we were all so nervous and now they're like, they're completely
they
fine.
They won't shut up.
Yeah. They yeah. chat all the time. So sweet.
I would
and,
lose my mind.
Oh, yeah.
See, this kid
would,
is so
probably,
here that, to...
That's out of the range. But it's,
that's far.
But it's
yeah.
still okay.
Yeah.
But, like, it's still okay.
There's, right. Yeah, now they're
that's
fine.
What's... You know, it's just very, like... this is such an everyday lesson. And just... I mean, for me personally, just the anxiety of it. You know, like... It's
he may
crazy.
Be saving it up. Yeah. And then he's going to say 7 words at 18 months.
Yeah. Can we go around and say if there's any advice that you would have... For, I know it's high pressure. Mm-hmm. It can be multiple things of just like whatever you would want to say, either about milestones or about anything that you wish you had known in the first year and change of your kids' lives or you as a doctor. Like,
yeah, I guess for me, I would just remind parents that it gets easier.
It does.
It does. I mean, it's still, of course, I'm sure it's like always hard. I'm sure you can attest to that. But for me, the first year was for sure. I mean, and talk to me in like 2 years and we'll see how I feel. But if it was really, really challenging.
Yeah, but
for
you
me.
Feel like it's easier for you now than it was when she was within that year mark.
Oh, yeah.
That's great to hear.
Now that she can like sort of communicate and she can walk and she sleeps through the night and, you know, and she's
eats
had
food
she's,
that isn't relying
eats
on you
regular food and she has teeth now, so I know that she mostly can like chew everything up and she's had her fair share of colds, which scared the crap out of me. Mm. And now I don't get quite as freaked out, so I guess it's just like I just have a little less anxiety and I'm not so freaked out about, you know, germs and this and that. I mean, I'm still definitely yeah. like have my share of
no, but I think that. my doula who was on the was a guest on one of the episodes, Rebecca Beninati, she says your mom muscle just got stronger.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean, it's just a muscle that you didn't have before. Yeah. And in the first year it's really tested, you do a lot of reps,
you
know
have a better
I mean?
Handle on it all and you just yeah so it just gets just trust that it gets easier and you can do this and we're all on our own path but we all can support each other and understand the the challenges and the wins as well. Yeah.
Jamie.
That was beautiful.
She is
going to cry.
A beautiful on the inside out. Everybody come check her out in Waitress the Musical on Broadway. She's playing Jenna. Great.
As well as Katie Lewis. Please don't.
I feel like to go back to the phases thing, we always say now everything is a phase. The good stuff and the bad stuff. That,
oh, like this too shall pass. Like,
yes. Mm-hmm. Because undoubtedly there's like a new habit. Like now she, when she is done eating, we've taught her. I tried to teach her a bunch of sign language words. The only one that's really caught on is all done. Which
great.
No one on the mm-hmm. podcast can see. But like she does this. And
it's kind of like jazz hands.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of a form of like she kind of starts clapping for herself like all done. But right before that, because when I realize she's getting close to it, I have to move fast because she starts throwing the food off the tray, and it's like everything will just, she's done. Get it off the tray. I'm done. So that's when I'm like, all done.
And my daughter throws food too.
Throws food like unbelievable. Yeah. But we look at each other and we kind of laugh and we're like, in 2 weeks from now, this won't be a thing. Yeah. Everything that's a thing was only a thing so briefly. And then it's either we taught her not to do something, but in most cases, they just sort of grow or phase out of it. And then you're on to the next thing. You know, like when she was teething, we're in sort of a weird break from teething. I feel like there's probably more coming
too, yeah,
soon. Great. But for a while, oof, it was like she wakes up every night at the same exact time and like screams her head off.
Yep.
And it was like, was when is this phase going to be over? And so I think that in some ways right now, while I'm with all adults, I can say like, that's helped to calm me a little bit.
Oh my God. I think that's huge to remember. Like you're this shit show, you're only in until there's either like a break and a lapse and a joy. And then there's like another new shit show. It's like,
oh yeah. Yes. So it's sort of just like, hang on, like whatever is happening, like
hang on,
it's like the next like good thing will come.
That's great. It reminds me so much of my labor because I was like, oh, my mantra was when a contraction would come, would say, I would say, this is only temporary. This is only temporary. Over and over again until it would pass. And
good,
then I was like,
you,
check, please. Where's the epidural? Thanks so much.
C-section.
Oh, yeah, bye-bye. Yeah. That's hugely helpful, Jamie.
Yeah.
And a good, both of these are very good reminders to me.
Yeah.
And Danielle.
I'm going to say the non-pediatrician thing and say, take care of yourself.
That's a lot of snapping for that.
Oh my God.
Wear makeup to your point. No, take care of your relationships.
Yes. Oh God, snaps for that. Good Lord.
Like my husband is pressuring me to go away with him and leave the baby.
Go away with your husband and leave the baby.
You got to do it.
It's huge.
Oh, you got to do it.
Because it passes, as you said, and when it's gone, you're still yourself. So you still have, hopefully have your relationship, which hopefully it's still there.
Oof, I just got a goose.
But I think it's really important because I do see the, kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly in the office of stuff when moms put too much into their children. And obviously you can't put too much, but you can forget about yourself. And it really is important to take care of yourself.
100%.
I just got so many goosebumps.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
It is. It's so hard to like make the time for yourself, to go to a workout class, go away
I'm
with your husband.
Never heard
shower.
Of it. Never, I mean, heard of it. Never heard of it.
Take a shower. If your baby's crying, take a shower. They're going to be crying when you get back, or they won't be crying. Great. Yeah. And you'll be clean.
But the guilt of like, if you have a free moment or whatever, you're like, well, I should just be with my baby. Like, it's so like, I mean, a date with Adam? Yeah, right. Like, especially like on this Broadway schedule, it's like we get one day off a week. So I make sure that the date consists of Adam and I putting the baby to bed. But like, yeah. I mean, it's like, but again, this is a phase.
It's a phase.
This is a phase. Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, Albie's going to grow up.
Yep.
And you and Adam will have
this
your relationship.
This could be a whole other episode too. I think someone said, I love my sister-in-law. We're very, very close, and she's an incredible mother. But they have this joke about her husband that's like, he's always like, well, they're going to leave, and then it's just going to be me and you, honey. And she's like, oh, my God. Like, what a reality. You're like, oh, crap. If we do our jobs, and we do a great job, these babies are going to leave, and they're going to be independent.
Yeah,
and these milestones of school or getting a job or moving out, the goal and these real big milestones, these life ones that they will remember, will be them growing up and growing out of us.
And then he's left and then he wouldn't go on a trip with him for 18 years.
Yes.
My children went to sleepaway camp this summer, two weeks and 3 weeks. And it was like, oh, you're still here. We should probably do something.
Oh, my God. This has been so wildly helpful. That was a wonderful tip of advice, Danielle. Thank you.
Yeah.
Danielle and Jamie and Nicolette, I cannot thank you for your wise words and making us laugh, because really that's also very important. Thank you so much, you guys, for tuning into Katie's Crib and talking about milestones. Bye.
Bye.